In this week's episode, Katie Singer and Jenny Stone discuss the latest McCloud remedy updates and run through what you can expect to receive from us if you are affected by the remedy. They cover what the information they send out will mean and what actions you need to take to ensure a smooth processing with HMRC and NHS pensions. Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Accountancy on Prescription. I'm Katie Singer, one of the partners here at RBP, and today I'm joined by my partner Jenny Stone. Hi Jenny.
Hi Katie.
How are you?
Yeah, a little bit tired and exhausted from the burnout of January.
Although this is being aired in February, Jenny and I have, for no reason whatsoever, decided it would be a good idea to record this on the 29th of January. Now, for those of you who aren't chartered accountants listening, this is maximum stress levels. So if we sound a little manic, it's probably because we are. But today, we thought it would be a good idea for the two of us to pop on and chat about what has consumed our life for the last month, which is preparing your McCloud remedy submissions for HMRC. So we just thought we'd use this opportunity to discuss what you need to do. And once you've done what you need to do and we do our part, how you're going to understand the emails that we send you and what's going to happen next. Because it's all we've done for the last month. Jenny, I personally feel like an expert. Do you?
Yeah, I do feel a bit like an expert. But Katie, it's not everything we've done. We've also had to deal with our clients and dealing with their tax and accounts. So it's been manic month.
It's all I can think about. I eat, sleep, breathe McCloud. So yeah. Many of you will have received, we're just going to call it an RPSS statement. Last year, some of you got them in October, some of you got them in November. Some of you would have been written to say, oh, we did send you one, but it was incorrect. And so we're sending you another one in February. We were expecting, when we first heard about McCloud, that most of you would have statements by now. But very late on in the day, I think, when was it, Jen? Middle of December, 15th of December, it was announced that basically NHS pensions hadn't quite got together all the data they needed. And so we knew at that point there was going to be some significant delays. And we know that a huge tranche of RPSS statements will be coming out in February. So February 25, which is this month.
Yeah, Katie. And I know I'm still getting lots of clients emailing me sort of worried that they haven't had their RPSS statement because, of course, we mail shotted all our clients back in October to say, you're going to get it, send it to us. The deadline is the 31st of January. And of course, people are panicking when they haven't had one. So I think just to say is, don't panic that you haven't had one. I think the minority are the ones that have had a statement. As Katie says, we were expecting loads and we haven't had them. We are aware that NHS pensions, they're the largest public service pension provider and the task is massive for them. So they issued them in October. And as Katie says, there was errors. So I think that paused everything while they corrected the errors. And then we are expecting a lot of you to get a statement. And I'd also just say, because I've had clients go, I phoned them to ask them to send me my RPSS statement. You can't request it on demand. So there's no point phoning them. Just sit tight. You will get one. And we just need to see, Katie, how many we're going to get in February.
Yeah, I mean, we've anticipated across as a firm, we'll get about 350 in total. That's our ballpark figure. We've had around 100.
Yeah, so that's I'd say we've had 100.
Yeah, we've had about 100. And I know that as of today, we've submitted about 65 to HMRC. So we're through most of them. A lot of the ones that we've had don't have deadlines, as Jenny just said. They don't actually have the deadline of the 31st of January if the statement is dated November or onwards, because it's 3 months after the date of the statement. So I did one this morning, statement date 3rd of December. It doesn't actually need to be submitted until the 2nd of March. I did submit it, but it didn't actually need to be. So just as Jenny said, don't panic about it coming through in February and thinking you've missed the deadline because you haven't.
Yeah, I think there's sort of like a unofficial that the deadline actually is, because these are coming out so late and obviously so many of them are going to come out past the 31st of Jan, is we have 3 months from the date you get, the date on the statement. So all I would stress to everybody is that the moment you get those RPSSs, then please send them on to us. I did record a podcast, gosh, I recorded it back in October thinking everybody would be getting one of these statements. So again, if you're sort of listening to this going, oh, I don't know what my RPSS is, what does that mean? Just go back and listen to that podcast back in October, because that sort of goes through and explains what it all is, what all of this McLeod is about.
Yeah. And as Jen said, please don't sit on the statements. We do them on a first in, first out basis. You know, I had a couple that came through to me only at the beginning of January that needed to be done by the 31st of January. So they were dated the 3rd of October. So please do send them in a timely manner, because when you send it in, at that point, you will be written to by us to request an authorization. And so there's a few processes that have to take place. I know we're going to discuss that a bit later on, but there's so many elements to McLeod that we have to do. The later documentation comes in, the harder it is to get all the pieces of the jigsaw together.
Yeah, agreed, Katie.
So that was the basis. But for those of you who's we've submitted already, you will have had quite a detailed email from your partner about what we've done for you for the McLeod remedy. And essentially, when you get it, it's split into two separate sections. The compensation period, which is 15-16 to 18-19, and the tax charge period, which is 19-20 to 22-23. And the reason it's split into two different periods is because there is a rule with tax charges that when tax charges are over 4 years old, there isn't anything one can do to amend it. So for example, if tomorrow you, I don't know, realized, oh my goodness, I didn't declare some income from 6 years ago and I owe HMRC £2,000 of tax, you're actually out of time to pay it. But unfortunately, it works the other way around. If you overpay tax and you realize it, you're also out of time to get a refund. So that's why we always say to clients, you know, we need to make sure we do your tax returns in a timely manner so that we can make sure things like this don't happen. But of course, the McLeod remedy period is 8 years. So those first 4 years, you're out of time to get any reductions in your tax charges. So there has been an arrangement between HMRC and NHS Pensions whereby NHS Pensions is actually paying those four-year-old tax charges. And so because of that, it's being split into this two-period format. And again, this won't necessarily mean anything to those of you who haven't received the documentation yet, but it will when you get your submission. We have to fill out a very detailed agent's form. And on that, it's very clear the split between tax period and compensation period, because it depends who will be paying you a refund if necessary.
Yeah, Katie, it sort of sounds really complicated, but I think when people start getting our emails, it will make sense. So as Katie says, the compensation period is from 2015-16 to 2018-19. So what does that mean regarding your tax charges? So obviously the whole remedy is comparing what your annual allowance tax is now after your 2015 pension benefits have been rolled back to your original scheme. So we're comparing those to what you declared as a tax charge on your tax return. So what will happen is if there was a decrease in your tax charge, so let's say you did your tax return, you declared a tax charge, and let's say you actually paid the tax yourself because you didn't want to do a scheme pay election. And now we've had the remedy. Let's say you had a tax charge originally that you declared of £2,000 and you paid it. We've done the remedy and there's no tax charge. So you have paid £2,000, which obviously needs to come back to you. In this compensation period, HMRC cannot refund that back to you. So what will happen is we're submitting all this data to HMRC and they will liaise with NHS Pensions, and NHS Pensions will compensate you for the tax that you paid during this compensation period. Let's say you had the £2,000 tax charge and you did a scheme pay election, and again, the tax charge is zero following the remedy, then HMRC will advise NHS Pensions that your revised charge is zero, and then they will adjust your pension benefits. Because if you remember that when you do a scheme pay election, you are asking NHS Pensions to loan you the tax charge, and then they will charge interest on that tax charge and recover it from your pension benefits at the end. So if you originally elected for £2,000 to be paid, your pension would be being reduced. That needs to be corrected. If there's an increase in tax, so this is what's been really interesting. If you declared a £2,000 tax charge, but following the remedy, and not everybody's tax charges have decreased, let's say following the remedy, it's now £5,000, that increase in tax is actually written off. So it's not payable. And it's just because, as Katie was saying, there is no mechanism outside of this 4 years for HMRC to collect the tax or repay the tax to you. So if you've had an increase, it just gets written off. And I know when I've been emailing clients with their RPSSs, I've actually just put into the email to say it was an increase, it's been written off. I did, Katie, have a client that we took them on as a new client a couple of years ago, and they never declared a tax charge. And they had £50,000 of tax written off in those first 4 years. And it's huge. So there's a different rule for the compensation because, as Katie says, HMRC cannot ask you to pay the tax or refund the tax. So all you've got to remember is if you've paid a tax charge in that time, you will get compensated by NHS pensions. If you did scheme pays, your scheme pay will get amended. And what I would say is, so I had a client going, well, do I tell NHS pensions? No, you don't. We are doing the digital tool. We complete an agent's form. We submit all of this to HMRC, and HMRC will liaise with the NHS pensions. I am hoping, Katie, that somewhere along the line, people will get a letter to say, we've processed your RPSS. This is the adjustments we've made to your pension. I don't know. I don't. So a client was saying to me, well, will I get confirmation that my scheme pays has been reduced? And I said, well, I don't know, but hopefully you will. But as I said, we've got records, obviously, of all the data that we've been submitting and a record of, is there tax due back?
And so far, when we've done a submission, we haven't had anything back yet from HMRC. We haven't had like, thank you for your submission for X, Y, or Z, or the name of the individual. We're just sending them. Unfortunately, the process that we have to send them by is an email. Again, for those of you who we submitted, you will have been CC'd. And for those of you in the future, you will see this email coming into your inbox going to HMRC. And so it's just an open email inbox. So once we've had the first original response back, thank you for your email, that's it. So we don't necessarily know how many they're getting, how regularly they're getting them, how that inbox is. It's just something to be aware of.
I can imagine HMRC are inundated with them. The amount we've just sent, and we're just...
Mainly from us, yes. I'm going to assume, yes, we're getting, sending a big chunk of the NHS ones for sure. So we've mentioned about the compensation period. So the tax period is slightly different. Because obviously yes. That's within the 4 years. So yeah, run us through the difference, how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So the tax charge period is from 2019-20 to 2022-23. So this is the 4 years that are sort of essentially chargeable. So again, we're doing the whole comparison. What did you declare on your tax return? What is your revised tax charge? And as I said, I think in the beginning, we thought most of these were going to go down. That's not always what we're seeing. So if you have, and if you've declared a tax charge previously and it's decreased, so if you have, I don't know, let's say you declared £10,000 tax charge and that's gone down to £5,000. If you elected to pay that personally and you physically paid the tax, then HMRC will refund that money to you because that's in the 4 year window. So if you've got a decrease in tax charge, you paid it yourself, HMRC will issue a refund. And we have been asking for bank details because, again, the agent's form we complete, we have to put on the bank details so that they can refund you directly. If you've had a decrease in tax and you elected for the scheme to pay it, then what will happen is HMRC will advise NHS pensions of the decrease in the tax charge. And then, of course, NHS pensions will adjust your pension benefits. If you've had an increase in the tax charge, then you have the option to pay that increase yourself or do a scheme pays. For us at RBP, if we can see a client has done a scheme pays before, we're going to assume they're going to want to do a scheme pays. So we will obviously send you scheme pay elections if they're not already in place. If you, let's just say for 1920, you'd put a tax charge on your tax return, you did a scheme pay election, the tax charge has increased. Because you've already got a valid scheme pay election in place, you don't have to do anything further. You don't have to send an updated scheme pay form. There's already a valid one in place. HMRC would just liaise with NHS pensions. What we're sort of coming across is where we will have done a tax return. You will have told us you've done a scheme pay form. We will have sent you a scheme pay form to download and then forward on to NHS pensions. There are a few cases where obviously people, clients haven't sent that scheme pay in. So when we've had the RPSS, there's no scheme pay amount recorded. So we will send you that scheme pay form again with the corrected numbers, and you will then have to submit it. So you will see when we send this email to you, we have a summary of action points, and we will say to you what scheme pay forms that you need to submit. But if there's already one in place for that year where there's an increase in tax, you don't need to submit an amended scheme pay form. HMRC will do it all for you. Katie, it might be worth us just talking about an example I had, and you may have come across this, where a client has basically changed their mind. So I had a client who originally, she only 1 year does she have a tax charge, and it's that year when the inflation disconnect wasn't sorted. So if it, you know, a lot more people had tax charges in 21-22 than they would have normally had. So she originally had an estimated tax charge or tax charge of about £10,000. We've done her remedy, she got her statement, and her tax charge is about 4,000. So what she said to me was, she said, well, Jenny, she goes, if I'd known it was only going to be £4,000, I would have elected to pay that tax myself. But at the time, she did a scheme pay election. So she said, can I change my mind? And I was like, well, there's nothing in any of this that we're doing that gives you that choice. And Katie, you sit on the Institute's healthcare board, and they were meeting with HMRC. So you put that question to them. And HMRC came back and said, there is no mechanism in any of this legislation for you basically to change your mind. So we'd had a whole conversation about, do we submit an amended scheme pay to £1? And I just said, this is going to get messy and complicated. I said, unfortunately, I think you're going to have to stick with, you did a scheme pay, it's just going to be a reduced scheme pay. I don't know whether, Katie, you've been asked this, but I think Kate had a client that asked as well, can you change your mind? So the legislation is not set out for you having a change of mind. I totally agree. And I do feel for clients who go, but Jenny, if I'd known my tax charge was only going to be this amount, I would have paid it. So it does feel a little bit unfair, but there isn't the mechanism there for you to kind of change your mind if you originally submitted a scheme pay. So yeah, that can be an issue for some people.
Yeah, no, I haven't actually come across that scenario, because most of my charges have either reduced to nil, or the charge was very small anyway, and they had either paid it themselves, or if it did reduce, it still reduced to a figure that they wouldn't have been comfortable paying. When I've been doing mine, I have had a few where I've just made a judgment call. I had one yesterday. He had a tax charge for 22-23 of £16. And I just made the assumption that this individual would not want me to go through the trouble of preparing a scheme pay election. Generally, anything under £1,000, I would probably assume would be payable personally. You know, once you start to get over that, I mean, I've had another one again, I wanted to submit it. I actually didn't get a confirmation from the client, but the tax charge was £23,000 for 22-23. And this was a January 31st deadline. So again, I've just made the assumption they're not going to want to pay £23,000 themselves. So there is a bit of assumption from our side, but when you do get this long email that we're talking about now, there's a little summary of action points at the bottom. And if we have sent you scheme pay elections for any of the years, so 2019-20 all the way through to 22-23, it will say, and I normally put mine in bold to make it nice and clear, please reply to me. I always say, please reply to this email to let me know if you do or don't want to scheme pay elect. And remember, if you had, let's say, worst case scenario, all 4 years triggered you a scheme pay election and you hadn't done any yet and you wanted to do them, and you looked at the numbers and thought, oh, you know what, I'll do this one and this one and not that one and that one, because one might be £100 and one might be £10,000. So you have got the options. Don't think just because we've sent them to you, you must scheme pay elect. It's just when we're doing the submission, it's much easier for us to just prepare them all and send them than come back at a later date and do them.
Yeah. And I think what I would say is for clients, when you're getting these emails that we're sending you, is do just respond, because we've got a huge number to turn around. And we had to delay starting the McLeod because, of course, NHS Pensions had announced, I don't know, I think in November, that there was errors on statements and amended ones would be sent. So, of course, we didn't know which clients were going to get amended statements. So we took the view that we'd done a lot of preparation work in the beginning. We would wait to start them in January. So we've had to turn around quite a number in a small space of time. So all I would say is as we're starting, because I'm expecting we're going to get this massive batch in February, I bet we'll get like 50, Katie. But yeah, I'm thinking that I'm expecting a big batch and it probably won't be. I don't know. What I would just say is, when you get the email from us, please look at it, please respond, because obviously we are trying to kind of turn this around quite quickly and get the data submitted. Katie, I just wonder whether it's just worth us having a quick chat about the tax year 22-23, because like you said, that all of this covers 8 tax years, and some people might have been going 8, but I thought the remedy was only 7 years. So the actual rollback and the remedy is only 7 years. It's your pension benefits from April 15 to March 22 were rolled back. But as part of the submission, we have to cover the tax year 22-23. So HMRC made the announcement last July to say, don't put any estimated or declare any annual allowance tax charges for 22-23. You're going to do this as all part of the submission. So for all of you, you've not submitted any data for 22-23. So when you get our email and you've got a tax charge, straight away it's going to go, you've got an increase of tax of, I don't know, £12,000. That's because we've never declared a tax charge. So for that year, we are having to declare it. You obviously haven't got any scheme pay forms done because we didn't have to do them. So we are sending you a scheme pay form for 22-23 if you want to do it. And the deadline for getting all of these scheme pays submitted is the 6th of July, 2025. So if you've got a tax charge for 22-23, we are sending you a scheme pays. If you've got any missing scheme pay elections, we are sending those to you as well. But if you have got valid scheme pays in place and you've got increased tax charges, that will all get dealt with HMRC advising NHS pensions. And if you don't have a tax charge for 22-23, then there won't be a scheme pay. But again, you will see when you get the email from us, we've kind of tried to break it down between this is the compensation period, this is what's happened, this is the tax charge period, and then we've just mentioned to you about your annual allowance for 22-23, because obviously when we were doing tax returns last year, we were saying to you, you don't need to make a declaration.
Talking of 22-23, interestingly, when we started, I had quite a few clients who didn't have any scheme pay election charges on their RPSS for any of the years from 15-16 all the way through to 21-22, well, actually 22-23, because obviously there's nothing been reported. So there's no scheme pay elections already in place. And when we prepare our preliminary work, I could see that for the McLeod remedy 7-year period, there was no charges. So I thought, result. I can get away with not having to do anything for this client. You know, I don't have to go through the whole rigmarole. And then I got to the final year and there is a tax charge. And of course, I'm thinking, why do I have to go through the whole process? So Jenny and I haven't mentioned it, but when we do our bit, we use a special digital tool that HMRC have created online. And regardless of which year you're affected or the charges, you have to fill out all the preliminary questions and the questions for all of your information for every single year. Like I say, even if years 1 to 6 were irrelevant, you have to fill out the entire form and you can't put blanks in. You have to put all of the relevant data in because it's all the information being used and it goes and it gets passed backwards. So that's why you have to use it. So it's quite... So
I know, it's quite frustrating, isn't it? Because I think I had that, as I said, my example where she changed her mind. She was not affected in any other year apart from 21-22. It was the only year she declared a tax charge and the only year that she's still got a tax charge, but it's reduced. But you have to put in all the data. So it is time-consuming.
So this 22-23 one, I thought, oh, well, I'll just do a scheme pay election. I don't need to do the McLeod. And then I thought, no, of course I can't. Because if I did it under the old way where you would amend a tax return, because obviously... we have until the 31st of January. If we amend a tax return and show a scheme pay election and an annual allowance charge going on late, that would generate interest. So that's why, even though, because I've had a couple of clients query and say, but hold on a minute, Katie, none of this applied to me. It's only 22-23. And I've said, I know. But if we don't do it via the McLeod submission, even though it's only for 22-23, which is outside of the remedy period, there isn't a facility, a bit like deciding you don't want a scheme pay election, there isn't a facility to do it any other way. So in a way that has increased, I would say, some of our clients' workload, because some of those clients weren't affected by McLeod.
Yes.
They were just affected by the knock-on effect.
Yes. And it's also, Katie, just saying about those not affected is we are I think I've had about 7 RPSSs, which actually meant I didn't actually need to do the digital tool. I mean, we've still done all the work to just sort of review it, make sure that that's the case. So we've kind of done all the work for it. But actually, because there's no tax charges declared, there's no changes to the tax charge. And again, you have to fill in the digital tool and ask kind of these triage questions to know whether you can use the digital tool or not. So you kind of have to go through that. And then it will say you're not eligible to use the digital tool. So for those that we do get statements, we are looking at every single statement and we are doing all the work for that. But for those clients, we'll just drop you an email and say, we haven't needed to do the digital tool, so there's nothing further required. I think I had about 7, Katie. How many did you have? You said you were about 5.
Yeah, not many. I only had about 5 out of 45, I think it was. Wasn't many. And for those of you who do get an email from us, it's a short and sweet email that basically says, we've reviewed your statement. It's not applicable. You don't need to do anything. I do caveat it at the end. I do say, however, if you do receive any documentation, please do send it on, because it could be that those individuals are going to be due amended statements.
Amended ones.
Who knows?
We didn't get that many amended ones. So we were kind of and this is what's really difficult. It was like, well, who's going to get an amended one? But we've had some that are due an amended one in Feb. So there again, we're just waiting until they get their statement.
But those of you who aren't applicable and we get that email, we don't send any fee for it. There's not a smaller version of the full fee. We just don't charge. Even though we do have to do the preliminary work, we made a decision that we wouldn't charge because we didn't think it seemed right to charge you for something that wasn't applicable to you, even though we do have to do some background work. However, for those of you who do qualify for McLeod, which, as I said, will be many of you, even if some of you think, oh, no, I won't be affected, but might be for 22-23, you will receive, when we send the email to tell you all this info, you will then shortly afterwards receive a notification from our secure portal with a cost claim back form. Essentially, that is anybody who's affected, which is essentially anyone that we're writing to tell you about this, you can claim our feedback and you will get that reimbursed to you in full. I've had a couple of clients already ask me, when are they going to pay it? I don't know, and we don't know the time frame in which they'll give you your reimbursement, but you pay the bill, we'll give you a receipt, and then you send the receipt with the cost claim back form over to HMRC, and you will get the money repaid to you in full. I mean, I know I actually sent quite a few fees and compensation forms out before the submission was done, and lots of clients paid their fees, sent off their compensation forms before I'd even submitted their claim to HMRC. So I'm guessing they do need to tie it up. So for those of you who did send your compensation form off as soon as you got it from me, and I started doing my digital tools middle of January, but I only submitted them today, which is the 29th of January, they probably need to tie up that you're actually relevant. So just, if you haven't had the payment yet, do sit tight. The forms have gone off, or you'll know because you sent them yourselves.
And just to add to that, because again, I do think we cover that off in the email, but when you're sending your cost claim back compensation forms to NHS Pensions for the charges that we're charging for all this work, you need to send a copy of our invoice. So that again will go on the portal to you. You need to send evidence of payment that you've paid it. So we can generate receipts. So you can phone Susie or Claire and pay over the phone, and you can get a Worldpay receipt emailed to you. Or again, if you're paying by BACS, just let Susie know that you've paid and then we'll generate a receipt for you. So you do need to submit the claim form with a copy of the invoice and a copy of the receipt. I don't know whether they need a copy of your digital tool submission, but as Katie said, when we are submitting them now to HMRC, we are copying you in. So you will have on that email the actual printout from the digital tool. So I don't know whether that's actually required, because what the guidance said is you've got to have your invoice and a receipt of payment or evidence of payment. And as Katie says, but those that aren't affected and we're doing the triage, we're not charging for that. The claim back compensation doesn't cover the triage. I know there are some accountants and people that are charging for that triage, but we, as Katie says, we took the view not to, we're doing work, but we've taken the view not to charge.
Yeah.
Katie, I didn't know whether it might just worth mentioning about, I know we've touched on where we've had missing scheme pays forms. So where we've done you a scheme pay election and then we've declared to HMRC that you had a tax charge and we'd sent you a scheme pay and that form either never got received by NHS Pensions for whatever reason or didn't get sent. Some of our earlier years, Katie, as you know, we've had tax investigations. So clients have had a letter to say, you've declared that you're going to do a scheme pay for £10,000, but we've never received any money from NHS Pensions in respect of this. And then they get an inquiry. So I've done a couple, Katie, where they had an inquiry, they settled the tax charge as a result of the inquiry, and they also paid interest. Now, at the moment, the inquiry ones that we've had all relate to this compensation period, i.e. they relate to 2015-16 to 2018-19. So I've got one where their tax charge, I think, is reduced by about £7,000, but they've paid interest on the original tax charge. So we did put this question to one of the inspectors when they were dealing with one of these inquiries and said, well, what's going to happen? Because all these numbers are going to change because of McLeod, you know, what's going to happen to the interest? And what they've basically said is that we need to write to the inspector and get them to revise that interest. Again, it's another thing where there's no mechanism in place to deal with that aspect. So I had a client, I think she paid about £1,500 interest. That interest needs to be recalculated now because her tax charge wasn't as high as the inquiry resulted on. So it's been really frustrating because we've had all of these inquiries and we're going, these numbers are all going to change. But what I realise is we need to have those inquiries because, of course, if you've got a tax charge for 18-19, if that had increased, it would get written off. So I think that's why that we've had sort of a number of these investigations.
And although we do always ask every year when we send you your scheme pay election forms, it is imperative under the McLeod judgment that you do send off the scheme pay elections as requested in the email. I mean, it's probably worth CCing the person who sent it to you, whether that's myself, Jenny, or our partner, Kate. It's definitely important to send it off and let us know because we need to be able to prove if an investigation or an inquiry comes up, we need to be able to show proof that it was submitted. Because I had a couple where there were inquiries and I could provide them proof that it was submitted because we had documentation. Whereas others, there were no email trails or nothing provided to us. And so, of course, like your client's situation, I had many, many, many who unfortunately didn't send their scheme pay election off. And yes, they had interest charges to pay. Although we have discussed this with you before, if you were one of those individuals, although you have paid the interest now, it's only saving you the interest that would be charged to your pension had it have gone out at the point in which it was supposed to go out.
Yes.
You're worse off in your back pocket today, currently, because the cash went out, but you're not worse off overall in the bigger picture, essentially. Yes. I know it's complicated, but but it did look horrible for those clients. We had to say, sorry, you've got to pay. I think I had one which was about £12,000 of interest.
Yes.
It was a real big
Oh, gosh.
Thing. So sorry. But... and I haven't done this client because he is one of mine who's having an amended one sent in February. So luckily for me, you've been the guinea pig, Jen. So you've done all the hard work. So I now know what to do. I did have a client during the remedy who had an 18-19 inquiry, but his tax charges all went up.
Oh, okay.
And I heard you saying earlier about someone you had 50,000, his were closer to 65,000 that have all been written off.
Enough.
So yeah. So there have been some swings. There have been some big swings.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
So do make sure they go off because if they don't, then there could be repercussions for you tax-wise down the line and interest-wise, and we just don't want that to take place.
One other thing, Katie, that might just be worth mentioning is about the tax year 2019-20. So if anybody remembers, in 2019-20, what the government announced and agreed is they said if anybody has a tax charge, an annual allowance tax charge for 19-20, you would do a scheme pay election, then what they said is that they were going to compensate you for that tax charge. So this was this whole thing around people having AA charges, reducing the commitment that they're working. We obviously had COVID. And of course, it was trying to encourage doctors, consultants to work and not be put off working, obviously, more because of these AA tax charges. So they sort of said, look, we'll compensate you because they obviously needed doctors on the ground with COVID. So at the time that that all happened, we were doing scheme pay elections. We were then doing these compensation forms for 1920. But what I had is, Katie, I had a client who has actually come brand new to us. So the first tax return we're doing for them is 23-24. And they had done their own tax return for all of the remedy period. And they had 2 years where they've now got a tax charge following the remedy. And one of the tax years was 19-20. And it was about £12,000 of tax. So I've done a scheme pay form for him. But I also then flagged up and said, look, this was the year that if there was a tax charge, you would get compensated. And what I would say is that the deadline for, again, another form to be submitted for compensation, the deadline was March 22. So of course, that deadline's passed. So I've just gone back to this client and said, look, I think you should find out whether you can basically access the 1920 compensation scheme. We have had, Katie, I think one of them is your client. I know it's one of my clients. More recently, they have had the compensation for 1920 has been accepted. So again, for those clients that it's relevant, we are trying to just cover that off in our detailed email. But if you get an email like that and it's saying that this, that's the background to it, is that in 1920, anybody that had a tax charge, that had done a scheme pay election and applied for this compensation before March 22, meant their pension benefits wouldn't be reduced for that tax charge. So again, it's all this stuff that's kind of coming out now because of this remedy that we're having to deal with. So there's so much to think about, isn't it, Katie? We just keep saying there's so much to think about when we're doing this.
It's so true. And it's why when we send emails, I know... We obviously do turn our emails around very quickly because it's just the industry we work in. And well, Jenny will tell you she didn't have more than three emails sitting in our inbox at any one time. So she's got to get it out quicker than it's even come in. Like I said at the beginning, when we do get your RPSS statement, you will receive an email back asking for you to give us a consent. And we need you to send that as an individual standalone email. And we need that because we have to attach that with the digital tool as part of the submission. It's only like a copy and paste two sentences that you need to do. The second thing we ask you to provide us, and you may have already done this, but if you haven't, this is something that you need to provide as well, are your bank details. Now, the reason we ask for your bank details is because, again, when we complete the agent's form, and as Jenny mentioned earlier, the earlier years and the current years, if you haven't done a scheme pay election, but you've paid your tax charges personally and you're due a refund personally, the money is likely to be paid to you direct. And so we need your bank details to actually put on that agent's form. And again, you will see those bank details on the form when we do your submission to HMRC. So it is really important for those two bits of information. If you are listening and think, oh, I haven't told them my bank details, or I haven't given this written consent, and you've had an RPSS, obviously, please do provide us with that information because it is imperative to allow the submission. Without those two, we're not necessarily able to submit.
And the other thing, Katie, I would ask is, could you also send us the full RPSS letter? So we've had lots that have sent us screenshots of just the numbers, which doesn't give us the date that's on the RPSS. So if you can, even if it is photos, that's fine. But I think just send us the full RPSS. Katie, we're dealing with this constantly. We should know off the top of our head how many pages are in that document, but I don't. Is it four?
It's four pages double-sided, Jenny. But what I would say is if you take photographs, I mean, it is best to scan it, but if you do take photographs, please make sure they are very clear. They're not blurry in any way, because unfortunately for us to do the submissions, we have to print the documents. And if they're blurry, the numbers, because it's so many numbers on the page, they do blur. So I have had a couple of situations. Actually, it was a client that I'm friends with. So I had to text him and say, do you know your NHS membership number? Because it's too blurry, because it's so teeny tiny in the bottom right hand corner. He's a new client, so we haven't done anything for him previously pension wise because I just couldn't see it. And no matter how zoomed in, those sixes and eights, they look very similar when they're blurry on a small photograph. So if you can scan it in, and I do believe on iPhones there is like a scan function to make it slightly clearer than a photograph, that's the best. But yes, taking very clear photographs of every single page, even the ones that are just writing, we still like those. Don't feel like you're sending us data. We're happy to receive it.
Great. So I think really, Katie, is just to say you'll get our email. When we get your RPSS, we will process it. We'll deal with it. We'll send you a detailed email. Please just, I know, let's face it, we all skim read emails. Even if you don't pay too much attention to it, scroll down to the bottom. We've got a summary of action points, and please action those points. And the scheme pay elections, as Katie says, I've got some clients that have sent them and just copied me in. We just need to know that they've been sent, because there was always this very strict deadline. And because of McLeod, there's been this sort of, yeah, that's fine, they'll accept it. But we have got now a cutoff deadline. So yeah, just please make sure you're dealing with everything with regard to McLeod and send us your RPSS as soon as you get it.
So the deadline for the scheme pays is now the 6th of July. However, I am telling individuals, if possible, to submit them in line with their submission date. So for those clients whose submission deadline was the 31st of January, I would send the scheme pay and say, please send this off by the 31st of January. Likewise, my February clients, I've said by the 28th of February, just because when we do the agent's form, there is a box that says, has this client prepared a scheme pay election form? The answer is no, because I've just prepared it for you. So no, it hasn't been done yet. However, when do you believe the client will send it in? So that's where I'm putting the date, February, January, March, whatever the relevant date is. So obviously, the easier we can make it and you can make it for HMRC to make all of this be processed smoothly. And that's why we ask. We know the deadline is the 6th of July. However, we would still rather you get it sent in ASAP.
Yeah, agreed, Katie.
Well, I feel like that is enough McLeod for one day.
Oh, do you know what? It's enough McLeod. We're exhausted from it.
For those who are listening who haven't sent your RPSSs yet, don't worry. We are very excited to receive them. But yeah, as Jen said multiple times, please just send them. As soon as you see that brown envelope plop through your door, please, please, please scan a copy and send it to us. It's really, really helpful. So thank you so much. We really hope that you found this informative. And of course, now that all the stressful deadline ones have passed, when you do get the emails, do feel free to ask us the questions. If you are unsure, we will get back to you. It may not be straight away because obviously we're dealing with so many. Like I always say, we're expecting at least another 250 odd to drop through, which will have around a 3 month submission date. So, you know, we've got our work cut out. But if you do want to know more, I've had a couple of questions, which I know people always say, oh, it's a silly question. It's not a silly question. It's right that you understand it. Feel free to just respond to the email and we will get back to you with the queries as soon as we can. But if you have enjoyed our podcast, please don't forget to like and subscribe. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.